children, precious children. I tell you, I'm preaching this morning and I'm sharing about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so before I send you to children's church, I wanted to just have a prayer with you. Can I pray for you? You know this church loves you. You know that we pray for you. And do you know we want you to obey your parents, but you know why we want you to obey your parents? Because the Lord wants you to obey your parents. And as you come to know Jesus as your Savior, we get to obey our parents because we love God and because we want to obey Him and because we want to honor Him. And so I want y'all to have a good time in children's church this morning. But Brother Stephen and this church, we want to pray for you before you go. All right? Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. And Lord, we're just thankful for our church family. We're thankful for these precious little ones, God. Lord, what gifts, blessings that you've given us. And Lord, we've got a stewardship as parents to love them and to lead them, to train them, to equip them. Lord, to point them to Jesus. And Lord, I've just, even in my study this week, it's overwhelming sometimes. And Lord, we often feel like we're not adequate. We often feel like we're failing. And God, nonetheless, we pray for your strength and your will and your guidance. And Lord, these little ones here, Lord, we pray that you would love them and lead them, that you would wrap your arms around them. Lord, that you would bless their parents, bless their families. Lord, we know that you've given us this family unit to perpetuate the faith, God, to, Lord, a healthy boundary to where we teach and train and lead. And Lord, these children, these little souls, God, I pray that they would know Jesus and that they would, Lord, not just change their habits or conform to some rules, but God, I pray that they would grow in love, have a heart's desire to love Jesus and to be obedient children to their parents, honoring their parents and loving you, Father. We just pray your blessings on our families today and these children. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all have a good time. If you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been going through Ephesians, and of course, one of the themes that we've been looking at is Ephesians 4:1. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." And looking at how to walk in a manner in which we've been called, we're looking at how to live in and be involved in Spirit-filled relationships. Spirit-filled relationships. And we looked last week at the context of husbands and wives. And I hope and pray this week has been a good week for you to think through about how you're loving your wives and how you're submitting and as unto the Lord to your husbands and treasuring the gifts that God's given you. Remember, it goes on to say in Ephesians 5, verse 21, that we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so thinking about these Spirit-filled relationships, we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And we see this in all areas. Paul first addresses husbands and wives. And then he moves on to parents and children. And then slaves and masters. And then I think it's no incident afterwards he talks about spiritual warfare. I was thinking this morning, man, that's a good something to follow up to children and parents and relationships of slaves and masters and even husbands and wives is to talk about the armor of God because it's no easy task. And even as I share this morning, I miss my family. They're down with grandparents on the beach. The grandparents got a condo and said, "We're going to have it. If anybody wants to come, come." And I said, "Well, I've been on a few vacations and I don't have the time nor the money to go, but if y'all want to go, go have fun." So they got the kids' projects, and they're down there and on the beach having a good time. But I was thinking this week as I prepared this and over the past few weeks, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. The Bible's pretty straight in these three verses here, what our role is, but it's not easy at all. We make mistakes, right? We've made mistakes. We continue to make mistakes. Are you tired? You ever feel like you're ready to give up? Throw in the towel when you're thinking about being parents. What's our purpose and goal in child rearing anyway? You know, what's our ultimate goal and purpose in raising children, in training children? Do we have a plan? What are our strategies and methods and evaluation process and in trying to teach and lead our children? Do you ever doubt your ability or even your position to demand obedience? You know, we live in an age today of we talk about autonomy a lot and wanting our kids to make decisions and be, to become self-actualized and be able to make it on their own. And I understand that, guys, but we've thrown out commands and leadership and obedience at that expense. And so we're going to talk a little bit this morning about what God demands from us as parents, how we're to lead our families and how we're to lead our children. And we're going to see that, remember, that we need God's Spirit to lead us and guide us. Let's read together. If you want to stand with me, let's read in Ephesians 6. We're going to read 1 through 4. Early in the week, I actually thought we might do all 9 verses and talk about slaves and masters as well. But the more I read and the more I looked at it, and after preaching 54 minutes last week on husbands and wives, I felt like I didn't want to give you another 54-minute message this morning. So we're going to concentrate on children obeying your parents this morning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Father, we need you this day. We need you to open our eyes. God, we pray that you would show us, Lord, who we are and who we're called to be. God, I pray that you would prick our hearts into understanding the weightiness of Lord, of being put in charge to lead and to love and to serve our families and to care for our families and to shepherd our families. God, I pray that as last week we talked about husbands and wives relationships, God, I pray that we would get that right. Lord, that there would be a healthy love for Christ that works itself out in the way we interact and submit to our wives and our husbands out of reverence for Christ, the Word says, out of love and care for one another. God, I pray that our children see that strong commitment to you and our strong commitment to our spouses. And God, that they feel the security and stability of a godly home. God, I know we've got a long way to go, but God, I pray that you would strengthen us in our efforts. God, I pray that you would help us to be real and open with our children, to teach them, to care for them, or to love them and to lead them. And God, to help them as they make mistakes, to nurture them back on the right track. God, we pray these things in the matchless and mighty and strong name of Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we see here that in verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We see children to submit to their parents, to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, the key here is in the Lord. Just as wives were to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord, and just as husbands would love their wives after the example of the Lord, so it is with children. They are to obey their parents for Jesus' sake. The word obey here is literally Greek for meaning to stand under. To stand under. It means to be under another's authority. And we see this in Scripture used in when we talk about a military term. It's the same word that applies to a soldier obeying his orders. To put it very practically and plainly, Paul says, children, do what your parents say. Children, do what your parents say. But as thinking about our children and God's gifts as He's given us and the blessings, what's our goal with our children? What's our purpose? You know, I was thinking as I studied and prepared, and this may flow into Wednesday, because I just think it'd be neat to have kind of a roundtable discussion. I was telling Brother Ken this week, I wish I'd got them together and just talk through some things and work through some things. I'd love to hear from you. Some of you've been leading kids a lot longer than I have. You've kind of been in the trenches. You've been through the tough times. You've You've seen lights at the end of the tunnel. But here it says, what's our goal? What's our purpose? I think it's more than just to get our children to conform, right? And I think that's what it goes on to say. It says, honor your father and mother. There's difference in obeying and honoring, right? It's like the child that the mother asks him to sit down and he says no. You know, he's not listening. He's not listening at all. After she asks him a time or two, he's not listening. So she takes hold of him and she gets him to sit down. She takes him and just forcefully kind of sits him down. And the little boy looked up at her with defiant eyes and said, "You may make me sit down outside on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside." Got any children like that? Hard-headed, stubborn, strong-willed children, right? But it's our privilege to love them and to lead them and to care for them. And I tell you, we're not just you can train animals to conform. And we don't want them to just conform. We do want them to conform. And the Bible talks about them needing to conform. But we want them to do it in the Lord, as unto the Lord. We want them to do it with understanding the weightiness and understanding the privilege of, you know, that's why one of the evidences of a child's conversion at a young age is a willingness to want to obey mom and dad. A willingness to want to understand and to do the right thing. And that's what it says here in verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, Tim Challies, he talks about three reasons children need to obey parents. And the first one, he says, it's because nature demands it. He says it's the right thing to do. It says, God has created human beings in such a way that His law is written on our hearts. There are certain truths we know simply because we are human, because we were created in God's image. One of these truths is that children ought to obey their parents. Think about it. Every people from every age and every time have known this and insisted upon it. Even though today it seems to be that many people are actively suppressing this knowledge. So the first and most foundational reason that children ought to obey their parents, and it's just how it works. It's right. It's the way God has demanded it. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit more deeper study, and we're going to flesh this out a little bit more. But the first thing is it's God's nature. It's how it works. It's the way God's intended it. Children are to obey their parents. Secondly, He says that children are to obey their parents because the law demands it. You know, we see this as a particular law in God's in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12, it talks about honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. You know, God had given His law to the Israelites, and He had said, you are supposed to be a people set apart. You're to worship Yahweh. You're to worship Me, and the pagan nations should see a beautiful picture of My covenant I've made with you. And as Moses goes up and gets these laws, this was one of the things that God says in the fifth commandment. And a lot of people think it was put specifically there because it's the first four commandments talk about a vertical relationship of our relationship to God. And then the last few are talking about our relationship to one another. Steal, not kill. The different ones that talk about our relationships to one another. Lying, bearing false witness, committing adultery. Right? And they think that this is, the commentators and scholars think this may be there because in a sense, parents are given as God to their parents. We're to be their authority. We're to shepherd them. We're to lead them. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a second. This commandment bridges the first four, which reflect our relationship to God, and the final five, which reflect our relationship with others. It talks about what I was sharing. He says that it's the unique role that parents play, a role in which they represent God to their children. To honor and obey parents is to honor and obey God. And those who give such honor and obedience to their parents open themselves up to special blessings, and we'll look at that. But remember, our goal is to not get kids to conform, but to develop the character trait of obedience is the real issue. To teach our kids to learn to obey, to teach our kids how to follow rules, to understand the importance behind it as they love God and as they respect and honor and obey their parents. The third thing he says is children need to obey their parents because the gospel demands it. The gospel demands it. It says, in the Lord, they're to obey their parents in the Lord. Even children are to put their faith in Jesus, and then because of their personal relationship with Him, to joyfully do all that brings honor and glory to His name. And the gospel assures our children that they can joyfully obey their parents, and also the gospel even gives them the motivation to actually do that. You know, we're going to look at the master and slave relationship, the employer-employee relationship. Never do you see the word saying we need to rebel. Never do you say that children should rebel or slaves should rebel. But you see this humble submission as unto the Lord. You see this reverence for Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You see parents loving God. You see children having the opportunity, as the gospel calls them, to obey Jesus, to submit to their parents and to obey and to honor their father and their mother. This is one of the very first evidences I talked about as a child's conversion, is obedience to mom and dad. As John Stott says, children, Christian children learn to obey with gladness, for this pleases the Lord. They remember that Jesus' submission to his parents, even as a little boy. And now this Jesus is our Lord and Savior and the creator of the new order, that they are anxious to do what pleases Him. It's our job as parents to help our children to see the vision, to see the goal. And in a healthy home, there should be love, there should be admonition, there should be teaching. I'm fixing to talk about in that discipline and admonition of the Lord. That's your word says, what does your version say? This one says the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's discipline or training, and that's also teaching. I wanted to give you a couple of quotes here that I thought were very important. James Boyce offers a crucial word to parents. He says, the obligation is not merely on the side of the child who must obey, but also on the side of the parent who must enforce the obedience. This is because the parent stands as God in the relationship to the child. To teach the child to obey the parent is to teach the child to obey God. To allow the child to defy and disobey the parent is to teach the child to defy and disobey God with all the obvious consequences. Brian Chappell or Chappell says, if we love our children too much to require them to do what is right, then we have not really loved them enough. If we love our children too much to require them to do what is right, then we really have not loved them enough. Y'all are out in the world just like me. You see children walk up to their parents and they say, would you like to do this? Now, these are three-year-olds. This one author gave an example of being in a Christian home, and it clearly became a something on the TV that a three-year-old didn't need to be watching. And the father says, we'll call her Susie. Little Susie, do you think you ought to be watching this? Well, yeah, Daddy. Are you sure now? I don't know about that. And the parent is basically engaging this three-year-old, like, are you sure? And after a little bit of commentary and conversation back with the three-year-old, she assures him that it's okay and that it ought to be okay for her to watch it. He finally just agrees and shrugs his shoulders and moves on and begins to talk with this individual that's telling this story. We get this a lot. We see this a lot, don't we? We see parents not wanting to be parents. We see parents that are exhausted and tired and just ready to throw in the towel, and just for the sake of peace and accord, they give in. I've seen it in my own family. I've seen it with me. I've seen it with Anna. And I confess that at times this is not right, but you kind of say, man, I just don't want to be embarrassed. I'm tired of being embarrassed. My kid's going to throw a fit and act a fool, right? And Anna, all that we got, Anna and I go back and forth with it sometimes. Just give them a piece of gum. No, we can't, guys. Our kids need to see consistency. They need to know that they have walls. They need to know that they have guidelines. Guidelines and walls are safe and they protect. I was going to share something about that. They need to see that. They need to know that there's security. Here's what one thing I came upon that I read. The limits of godly discipline are like walls. Walls can sometimes feel frustrating and confining, but walls serve a beneficial purpose. They symbolize safety and protection. Walls make us feel secure when night falls, when dogs howl outside and the wind blows. It says, a child who momentarily rebels against walls during a time of discipline will one day be thankful for the safety and the security and sense of love those walls supplied on a consistent basis year after year through childhood and adolescence. In verse 3, it says that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. It's talking about that promise. The special promise is that it leads to contentment. It leads to happiness. It leads to fruitfulness. Those sound good to me, right? This statement means that the glad obedience with an attitude of honor and respect creates the conditions that tend to produce a long, healthy, happy life. Obedient children live constructively and productively, and they are less likely to fall prey to self-destructive temptations and snares, alcoholism, drug abuse, juvenile crime, laziness, poverty, and other forms of foolishness and rebellion. This is talking about, and that goes to the next verse when it says verse 4, it says, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Exasperate. Comes from a Greek word from which we get our English word paroxysm. It means anger that results in rebellion. We have to be careful, parents. Paul, in effect, is saying, fathers, do not provoke your children to the place where they completely lose control and rebel against authority. It's like you crush them to the point to where they completely give up. They quit trying. They just say, my father's mean, he's angry, and I'm just going to put this wall up, and I'm just going to conform until I can one day, what, have my own way and rule over my children. And you see this pattern, and you see it develops, and it leads into that same parent that's going to mistreat his children. Harshness, conformity for the sake of doing it because I said so. And yes, we need a firm hand, but it needs to be in love and teaching and training. And actually, that's what this word means. It talks about a little bit when you look at training and you look at instruction of the Lord. He contrasts these two parenting styles, the right way to raise children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Notice the two terms Paul uses, training and instruction of the Lord. The word training means discipline, a balance of love and limits. Instruction in the Lord, it means exhortation and teaching, and or as the original Greek suggests, putting in mind the things of the Lord. Putting in mind the things of the Lord. So you want to help ultimately. Remember what our goal is to create habits of obedience. It's to help them understand. An overindulgent parent style leads the child to wonder, don't my parents care about me enough to set boundaries and give me discipline? The child grows into a spoiled and immature adult, experiencing always to get his own way and never caring about the needs or feelings of others. That's the parent that says, sure, you can have it. I'm going to give. My job is to just make you happy. Overindulgent parenting. The child grows into spoiled and immaturity. He don't understand. He don't even see the real care from his parent. And one day he's not going to have care about others and feelings toward others. An overly harsh parenting style. Some of y'all got this. Right? And we joke about it and say, I needed every spanking I got. And I did. And my dad was very firm. I very much respected my dad. My dad wasn't always perfect in it, but he did usually sit me down and say, son, I love you. He did. I know you're not supposed to discipline kids out of anger. He did that sometimes. He did that out of frustration. It was hard to sit still when my dad got a hold of me, so sometimes he'd just pick me up one hand and wear me out.
But I was always too afraid to run from him. Now, my little brother, he'd go hide under the bed. I was too afraid to run from my daddy. Eventually, he'd catch me, right? I did know my daddy loved me. But if it was an extreme form, if it was closer to one end, he was closer to the extreme of harsh discipline. Some of y'all know what that was like. But my daddy did love me, and he cared for me, and he taught me. And I did see a model in my daddy. Guys, there's got to be balance here. You want to nurture. You want to care for your children. You want to lead them. You want to be real with them. You want to give them enough freedom and let them make mistakes and then teach through these mistakes. But two things we don't want to do is just give them everything they think they want, especially at age three, when they go in and they tell the doctor what they're going to do, when they go in this place and that place and they say, this is what I'm going to do, and you're not going to, you know, I sometimes hear stories. Anna's in nursing, you know, and she tells me about kids and parents and the way kids interact with parents sometimes, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and no, you're not going to do this, and the children just seem to rule the roost sometimes. We got to know our role. We got to know our purpose. Our children were giving to us as gifts, and in a form, we're God to them in the sense that they are to submit to us as unto the Lord, and we're to equip them and to train them and to love them and to lead them. They should see our mistakes. We're going to make mistakes, but we teach through these mistakes. We confess that our shortcomings. And remember, our goal is to help them learn to want to obey because they love God. They should see a healthy home of caring for one another. There should be walls. There should be parameters. And even though we don't get it all right, we do need to develop a plan. We need to set guidelines. We need to encourage and pray for one another. Remember, we're talking about being Spirit-filled. And so there's a sense, as husbands and wives and parents and children, we've got to rely on God's Holy Spirit. And we need to seek God. We need to pray and ask Him to help us. I wrote some things down just as I brainstormed, and I thought that they kind of, these were just real practical ways of, you know, we want to develop disciples, not Pharisees. We want our children to understand it's the attitude of the heart that God looks at. That's why it says honor your father and mother, not just to obey like an animal that just sits and gets a trick and gets a treat. And you want them to honor, you want them to respect, you want them to reverence. To understand the authority, to understand the nature of the family, to know our purpose and our roles and why we exist. And as kids come to faith in Jesus, you want them to know that we've been given parents to obey the Lord by obeying our parents. And we teach these things. You know, if Deuteronomy, if you want to flip with me, this was one of the Word of God is supposed to be upheld and taught in the home. And this is one of the things I probably should have shared right off the bat. But Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, the attitude of, and the teaching that was to be passed down from one generation to the next. In verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel." This is Deuteronomy 6:4. God's people were held to a standard, and the children were supposed to be trained and taught. The Word of God was taught verbally, and it was even taught visibly. They were not only to teach it and help get it written on their hearts, but they were to write it on the doorpost. The Scripture was supposed to be taught in the home. Proverbs 3:2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6 talked about these principles of fathers and sons. And even when it says fathers, don't exasperate your children, that word there means parents. It's not just for fathers, but it does recognize the father is the leader of the home, and he's supposed to be setting the policies, but they're supposed to be working together in the relationship to not exasperate your children. But look at verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." We should teach our children that our job and our duty is to love God with everything we are. Our heart, soul, and all our might. And then it says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you sit down, and when you rise." You know, we should carry on continual discussions with our children about the things of God. In breakfast time, at school time, when we're teaching a lesson, in those small teaching opportunities that God gives us. when they drop the ball, when a friend betrays them, when somebody talks bad to them, these are ways for us to teach them what God says, how He loves them, how we love them, and how we love one another, how we love God. And we're to train our children, to teach our children. This stewardship was to be passed down from fathers to children. Grandparents now, and some of you guys I'm looking at, we see some godly grandparents. Some of you may have some regrets and some things that you might not have done right. But now you've got an opportunity to continue to teach these grandchildren. Train them, teach them. Verse 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The people of Abraham, God had set up a covenant with them, and He promised He would bless them. But there was a command to obey as God would protect them. And one of the things He gave them was the law. He gave them His word. He said, you're to be set apart from the nations. This is the way you should look. This is the way you should honor me and reverence me. And there was even some strict discipline and punishment for those wild, rebellious children. And that's another day, another sermon for another day. But they were to stone them. This is the weightiness of what we were given as parents in the teach and to train our children in the Lord. It was, they were to be submissive and reverent and respectful. And it's not easy. And sometimes we want to give up. But I tell you, it's a stewardship, and the consequences and the return is worth the effort. John MacArthur says this: parents who do not fully and tirelessly commit themselves to the godly teaching and training of their children are likely to wake up one day and find their sons and daughters inextricably enmeshed in the ungodly and immoral philosophies and practices of the world. Parents who do not fully and tirelessly commit themselves to the godly and teaching and training of their children are likely to wake up one day to find their sons and daughters inextricably enmeshed in the ungodly and immoral philosophies and practices of the world. Guys, are they worth our time? Are they worth our efforts? I mean, after all, our goal is to make disciples. A man's first goal of making disciples is his own home and family. Mothers, these are blessings that God's given us to lead to Christ, to lead in fear and reverence and of the Lord, to be trained, to be taught, to use the time that God's given you in your home, at breakfast, and when you're in the car, at night when you say your prayers. Lead them to teach them. Think about your goal. Help them to see that their vision is to be a faithful follower of Christ, not just to conform to a set of rules. We don't want Pharisees, we want disciples. Children, youth, teenagers, as you come to know Christ, as you come to know the Lord, realize that one of the practical ways you show that love for God is the way you love your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that your days may be long in the land. Do you want blessings and prosperity and contentment and happiness and purpose in life? Then honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say that only when they're right, honor them. It doesn't say, you know, when they're making irrational decisions, you can dishonor them. There was no stipulations. It was to honor your father and your mother. Don't just look to the part, but check the heart. Don't just look the part, but check the heart. Love, nourish, teach, give freedom. Teach, equip, lead. Remember, our job as disciple makers, our children are going to catch it. Often it's going to be caught and not taught. We want to teach it, and we want to help them to see why, but they need to see us modeling a relationship with Christ. They need to see us modeling a true love and healthy regard for our spouse. They need to see the boundaries. They need to know that they're cared for. They need to know that there's reasons. And it's because we love God that we form walls, and we want to keep them in these walls. It's because we want to nurture them. We want to protect them. is caught, not taught. Work together. Make sure you're a team. A house divided will not stand. Make sure your spouses are on the same team. Make sure your church is behind us. We need to often lift our kids up. We need to bring them forward. We need to show them that we're not perfect, but we're on a journey together. They need to feel this love in Teen Kid, in Sunday school classes. Like Austin said this morning, our children need to know that they've got the freedom. Their grace, we sang about grace this morning. When a child is crying in church, man, there ought to be mothers and grandparents that come sit along beside these parents and help them and encourage them and love them. And they're now to see this teamwork and this camaraderie and this partnership as we're partners in the gospel, right? Our kids need to see that they're not just baggage and problems, and they don't need to be just shuffled aside like, man, goodness gracious. My wife says sometimes, well, I don't want to bring them in there because they're not going to cause distractions. We need to give each other the liberty, the kids to make mistakes and to scream at times. They're children, right? After all, if the church isn't engaging parents and if we're not on board together, helping one another, caring for one another, then we're not thinking about our outcome. And what's the outcome? We're all messy, right? We're people. Anytime you got people together, you're going to have messes. You're going to have drama. But we're all headed towards Christ. We're all trying to be more like Jesus. We're all disciples, hopefully following Jesus and wanting to conform to who He's called us to be. And in doing that, we help each other. So grandparents, working with parents, kindly, nicely, encouraging young mothers, helping them to see their goal and that one day the commitment is worth the weight and effort. Tirelessly. At night, struggling, getting up, teaching, caring for. It's hard. My kids are gone right now, and I miss them like crazy, but I'm sleeping good at night. I may not feel energized because I went down to my brother's get-together yesterday, and I spent a lot of time on the road and got back late last night, so I may not look rested, but I noticed that I don't, when my children are gone and my wife's gone, I haven't had to think about getting children up early in the morning and getting them to school. I haven't had to think about cleaning dishes and cooking dinner and helping Anna. And Anna does a lot too, guys. But it's a partnership. But it just don't even feel normal. I call Austin. I say, hey, man, you want to go eat? Hey, Ken, you need me to help? You need my help with anything? I miss my children, but I tell you, when they're worth the effort, and when they come back, I hope that I've found afresh and anew to really take it seriously and think through my policies and plans and what we do and why we do it and to be careful with the kids. My kids, I don't know, they're not getting a lot of structure this week. My wife's philosophy is if they don't have to get up for school, keep them up as late as they can so they'll sleep late the next morning. They're not getting a whole lot of structure. They were at the arcades last night, and I'm sure, and I threatened the grandparents and my wife. I said, make the kids behave. Make them draw lines, have parameters. You know, kids will take care of grandparents. Y'all don't understand this, I know. But kids will take advantage of you. They will. They know how to get what they want from you, and that cute little Savannah face can manipulate one of y'all just in a heartbeat, and y'all give in to it. Don't give in to it. All right? Don't give in to it. Be the grandparent. Be the parent. We have a commitment to God to tirelessly engage our kids with the goal in mind to help them follow Jesus. Let's make sure we're working together. And then lastly, as we conclude, I just wrote a few things like being open and being transparent. Use your mistakes to help teach your children. Daddy blew it, Savannah. Daddy lost his temper. And that was not right. I shouldn't. That is not obeying. That is not honoring to God. It was disrespectful to my wife that God gave me, and I was wrong in what I did. And I want to ask you to forgive me. Let your children, as they get older, let that discipline turn to training and teaching. Give your kids a little room to make mistakes, and then, of course, we don't want them to make huge mistakes. But sometimes they can make some little mistakes, and you can teach and you can train. And I looked at my little brother's got a little boy named Benjamin. They call him Benji. He's about two, and he's into everything. And yesterday at Stuart's little party, he was over there at this speaker, and he was just twisting all the knobs. You know, kids, they get around a speaker or something, they're going to twist the knobs, and they're going to... And I just looked, I said, you know, it ain't mine. That ain't my thing right there. And I tried to help. I said, but if he can't mess it up, I guess it's okay. But if he can mess up this piece of equipment, you know, you might want to... You might look at him because he's into everything. And he's into everything. They'd put him down, he'd run back. They'd put him down, he'd run back. And he was just, you could tell it was his place and it was his show and he was going to do exactly what he wanted to do. Well, he got over there by this sound machine and he got to twisting and turning. And all of a sudden he hit that little button and just this huge static noise. And that little boy, you should have seen the look on his face. He turned, he went running to his daddy. And I couldn't help but to want to laugh under my breath. Because we had told him to quit messing with it. We had tried to teach him, and it scared him to death. But that was a lesson we could teach him. And baby, you gotta listen, Dad. Daddy, no, we have reasons, and we want to tell you things, and we want to correct you. But use those times when our kids just blow it, and sometimes they do get hurt, and sometimes they do make bad decisions. Use those times to teach about who we are and who we're called to be. Be open and transparent. Rely on the Holy Spirit. And make sure that we are directing and teaching from God's Word. There's power here, guys. Transformation takes place when we are under this authority and we're putting our children, our people under this authority. This is what brings disciples and makes disciples. This is what makes the heart learn to follow Jesus. And so in conclusion, as we think about children obeying parents in the Lord, for this is right, as we think about parents submitting to children in the sense that we have a stewardship to not exasperate them and not push them to the point to where we break that spirit and we treat them like this and we treat them wrongly and harshly to where they feel like giving up. In doing this, let's make sure that we're loving God and that we're relying on the Holy Spirit and we're letting God's Word guide us and lead us. Be patient, show grace as the song sang, and let's be good parents. And let's work hard, and let's labor hard, because we're stewards of the treasures and the gifts that God has given us. Let's pray together.